This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
As we look out into the heavens, one cannot help but be amazed at the reality we see. From the size and scope of the surrounding universe, to the smallest intricacies of molecular structure, our reality in this physical world is stunning. But are you aware that humanity does not live in total reality? At best, it is partial. There is an additional dimension beyond the reach of our material existence, a spiritual dimension where time and space have no meaning, a dimension we cannot presently enter into while in this physical condition. Stay with us as we explore this subject on today's program. In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
What is reality? What is reality? Is reality just what we can see, feel, hear, smell? When you look out into space, you see that there is space out there. There are planets. There are stars. Is that how you determine what reality is? Just by what you can see? When you look at this world, the animal kingdom, humans, the great creation all around us, does that help you understand what reality is? Is there more to reality? Do we see all that there is to reality? Or are we missing some of it? Do we see it all or know it all? Or is there an invisible reality that we are not quite aware of? I'm here to submit to you today that there is, that God the Creator is in a reality that we don't necessarily see. We can commune with that reality, we can connect to that reality, but we don't necessarily see that reality and all that it entails. I want to talk to you a little bit as we get started today about a fellow named Richard Dawkins. Now, some of you may have heard of Richard Dawkins. He's written a couple books, The Blind Watchmaker and The God Delusion. Now, Mr. Dawkins is a very intelligent individual. He's much more intelligent than I am. I will submit that that is the case. But Mr. Dawkins believes that those who believe in God are delusional. He would say that since I believe in the Bible, I'm deluded. Now, I don't agree with that at all. But part of why Dawkins thinks that is if he's not able to use science to discover what reality is for him, then he's likely to discount anything else that others say is part of reality. So I want to gear today's program towards that mode of thinking that Dawkins has. I want to submit some examples to Mr. Dawkins today and see what kind of answer he may have for these items. You may have some skeptical friends or loved ones, and I think today's show can really help you talk to those individuals, or you may be a skeptic yourself. And I'd ask you to just hang in there a little bit longer with me. Stay with me, because we're going to look at some very interesting things on today's program. Now, what I'd like you to do with me is turn over to Isaiah 35 and verse 5 for a moment. I want to start things off with one quick scripture here. Isaiah 35 and verse 5. It says the following: Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Now, I believe this is going to occur physically and also spiritually. I believe individuals like Mr. Dawkins, who are not seeing or not thinking as possible the reality of God, I believe that at some point in the future, they will have an opportunity to understand that reality and make a choice about that reality. Now, what's interesting about Dawkins is, you may have seen him on a documentary titled Expelled with Ben Stein as the narrator. In this documentary, Stein asks Dawkins about how life got on this earth. He says to him, well, if God didn't do it, how did it come to be? The interesting response from Dawkins was this. He hemmed and hawed around the answer for a moment, and he said this. He said, well, maybe it's possible that aliens from outer space came to the earth and seeded it with life. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. This individual who says that I'm deluded for having faith and belief in a God believes it's possible that aliens from outer space came to the earth and seeded it with life. I'll just leave it at that. Check out that documentary and listen to that admission by Mr. Dawkins. We're going to get a lot more into this discussion, but before we do that, I'd like to offer you some free literature. The free literature I'd like to offer you on today's program is a booklet titled The Awesome Power of God. The most destructive nuclear blast man has been able to produce pales to insignificance when compared to the awesome power of the Creator God. Get a handle on the miracles of Jesus when you read this booklet, The Awesome Power of God. We also want to offer you a full-length CD sermon that I gave titled, What is Reality? It will address the themes we are addressing on today's program and will give you even more information than we will be able to provide you on today's program. To get both of these items, all you need to do is go to www.cgi.org. That's our website at www.cgi.org, or call toll free 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Again, for those of you just joining us on today's program, we're taking a look at reality. There are some people out there who look at reality and only understand it from the standpoint of what they can see, what they can feel, what they can touch, what science can tell them about that reality. But is there more to reality than just what we can see? We want to look at that question today, and I want to submit you some examples today of things we don't see but are definitely a reality. Now, I'm going to start out slow, and I'm going to build to some bigger and bigger things as we go through the program. I'm going to begin in the animal kingdom, and I want to talk about the gecko for a moment. Now, when you think about a gecko, have you ever seen a gecko scurrying across a ceiling upside down? Have you ever wondered how a gecko is able to suspend itself upside down as it scurries across that ceiling? Science has wondered about this for years. They've had different ideas and theories about how the gecko was able to do this. Only recently have we found out through microscopes, very powerful microscopes, that the gecko has thousands of little suction cups on its hands and feet that allow it to cling to that ceiling as it moves upside down. It's amazing. When scientists discovered this, many scientists came to the conclusion this could not have evolved. Those tiny suction cups could not have evolved on that animal for a number of reasons. Another interesting case from the animal world is the giraffe. Now, when you look at a giraffe, you see it eating vegetation out of a tree, you see it bending over to drink water, but you don't see what's inside that giraffe. A 2.5 foot long heart that is pumping blood up the long neck of that giraffe to its brain that allows it to do what it does. But have you wondered, what happens when that giraffe bends over and begins to drink water? What about all that blood rushing to the brain of that giraffe? Interestingly enough, what we don't see is that giraffe has a series of valves and shunts in its neck that when it bends over, those valves and shunts block that blood from flowing into the brain of the giraffe. Because if it just flowed to the brain of that giraffe with that 2.5-foot pumping heart, the giraffe could be in some trouble. He could be dead. Now, what happens to that blood that's above these shunts? What happens is it moves towards the brain, but it hits a sponge-like series of blood vessels that act like a sponge. This dissipates the flow of blood into the giraffe's brain, allowing it to bend over and drink that water without any damage to the giraffe. Scientists have looked at this and they're startled by these facts about the internal workings of the giraffe. They don't see how this could have evolved over time because a giraffe needs all of those parts working all of the time or his brain's going to burst, ladies and gentlemen. That's what science is telling us. As we learn more and more from science in the animal world, individuals like Richard Dawkins are having trouble with explaining how life began on this earth. That's why Mr. Dawkins will bring up the idea that maybe aliens brought and seeded life to this earth. Now, interestingly enough, when we talk about these invisible things, I want to show you a scripture over in Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to pick it up there in Romans 1. And verse 19 for a moment, it says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Gecko, giraffe, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The Bible itself tells us that there are invisible things out there that are part of reality, ladies and gentlemen, and that is the focus of today's program. Now, what about answered prayer? Now, some of you skeptics out there may have an issue with answered prayer, and I hear that. But hang in there with me. I just want you to listen to this from a different perspective for a moment. As a Bible believer, I believe in answered prayer. But I believe that it's God's will be done. God decides when and who He will heal and at what time. But let me throw this at you, Mr. Skeptic out there. Or you can bring this issue up with a skeptic. There was an article that was in Parade magazine a couple years back about a study that was done on people in a hospital who were sick. There was a group of people who were very involved with others. They had people praying for them. They had people writing them letters. They had people visiting them and involved with them. Then there were a group of patients who had none of that going on for them. And what they found, all things being equal, the same diseases, the same ages, things of that nature, those who had people pulling for them, praying for them, working with them, did better in recovery than those who did not. Now that's scientific fact. That's research that comes from looking at patients in hospitals. So keep that in mind as I show you a scripture in the Bible. Keep those facts in mind as we look at the book of James for a moment. And I want to bring up a scripture dealing with prayer for a moment and ask you, is there more here than we're really seeing? In James chapter 5, we read the following in verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders. Notice that it's plural. If one elder's there, of course, get him there. But if you got more than one, bring him. Okay, why is that? Why more than less? Let me continue here in verse 14. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith. Faith, what is that, folks? It's belief. It's belief in something. Think back to the example I was giving you of those who had individuals pulling for them, praying for them, involved with them. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now notice this in verse 16. Confess your faults one to another. Notice that involvement again with others. And pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now don't get me wrong, I believe that God's Holy Spirit does the healing. But why is it that God asks for multiple elders to be there? Why is it that God is asking for people to talk to others about the issues and problems they're having? Well, what we found when we studied stress, ladies and gentlemen, is that when you're involved with people, when you vent a little bit, when you're talking about your problems and issues, you have less stress, which has a lot to do with some of the sicknesses that we get. So keep all that in mind now. And I want to go into that other realm right now of scientific experimentation for the skeptical mind out there. Keep in mind what we've just said about prayer. And I'm not trying to set any doctrine about it here. I just want to throw that out there at you. And I want you to tie it to what I'm going to tell you right now. I read a book recently titled The God Experiments. That's G period O period D period experiments by a man named Gary Schwartz, who at one time in his life, he's a PhD, but at one time in his life, he did not believe in any God. He now believes that there is a creative force behind this world, that there is a God who put it all together. He doesn't necessarily believe in the Judeo-Christian God, but he believes in a God. Now, here's one of the reasons why he believes in a God. There were some studies that were conducted at the University of Arizona by a fellow named Lonnie Nelson. And what Nelson was trying to look at was, is there a connection between the mind and matter? Now, when you talk about man's mind, you will find information about that in your Bible in relation to God and God's Spirit working with man's spirit, which we consider, in a sense, to be man's mind. You know, science doesn't have an answer for what our consciousness is. They're stumped by it. They can't explain consciousness. Those of us who believe the Bible believe that is the spirit of man that connects to God's spirit or can connect to God's spirit. But we're not going to go there right now. We're going to talk about Lonnie Nelson's experiment. He was trying to find a connection between the mind and matter. What did he come up with? Well, he had a device that could tell you how organized the electrons were within this device. If there was more noise, quote-unquote noise from the electrons, now whatever that noise is, I'm not exactly sure, but this is what I read in the book. When there was more noise from the electrons, it led them to believe that there was more organization among these electrons. And what are electrons? They are the smallest constituent parts of matter. Neutrons, electrons, these are the things that make us up. So they're able to detect what these electrons are doing in this device. What he had was subjects would come into a room and sit in close proximity to this device. He had them focus their mind in some way, whether they were working a computer game, whether they were meditating, whether they were daydreaming, they were focusing their mind in some way. The results of the experiment came out, and this is what they found. When the subjects were in close proximity to this device, the electron noise in that device, the organization of the electrons in that device, increased perceptibly. Now, what does that mean? I don't know. I don't know what that means. I'm just giving you the results of this experiment. Other similar experiments have been done like this with groups of people thinking and focusing their minds on things, having a connection to greater electron noise within these devices, not only in close proximity, but over distances. Now, that's not me telling you this. These are scientists. Some of these scientists, Dick Biermann of Germany, another fella at the University of Princeton named Roger Nelson, have done some of these studies that you can read about in that particular book, The God Experiments by Gary Schwartz. Now, what is this saying? Is there some connection between what we don't see, our mind, and the physical universe or reality that we're in? Well, I definitely believe that from reading Scripture, all right? I'm not even getting into Scripture in that perspective today, but I believe that because of Scripture, science is starting to bump up against this in the experiments they are performing, I believe. Now, let's move on to something else. Something else we don't necessarily see. And that's DNA in your body. And I know you've all heard about DNA before, but in looking at DNA, I found out some interesting facts about DNA that blew me away, and I want to relate these facts to you. But just a little information about DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid. It's a nucleic acid that contains the genetic instructions used in the development and functioning of all living organisms and some viruses. So DNA is basically a blueprint, a code, a recipe of what makes you you and what makes the giraffe and the beetle, etc., etc. Now, what's interesting about DNA, ladies and gentlemen, and I got this information from a book titled The Hidden Face of God by Gerald Schroeder. When we look at DNA, each of your cells contains 2 meters of DNA. Now, I want to repeat that. Each of the cells in your body contains 2 meters of DNA. And what is DNA again? It's instructions. It's information, basically, when you come down to brass tacks. Now, why is that interesting? Well, do you know what the size of a cell is in your body? Your cells are 30 millionths of a meter in diameter. So wait a minute, if your cell is 30 millionths of a meter in diameter and each cell has 2 meters of DNA in it, there's a problem there. That does not compute for me. How is it possible you can fit all that information into such a small space? Well, I don't believe that evolved, folks. I don't believe that's by chance. I believe there's a creator God that is able to defy what we think is stupendous and unbelievable and make it happen. And I'm talking reality, ladies and gentlemen. DNA is real. You can't get around it. But as we study it, we understand more about it. We are left agape at trying to figure out, how can there be DNA? How can there be all this information, all these instructions inside of cells that have those cells work and do what they're supposed to do to keep you being you and the giraffe being the giraffe? Scientists who did not believe in a God, ladies and gentlemen, as they've started to delve into DNA and study DNA, they're starting to turn. They're starting to see things differently because DNA, when you really get to understand it, blows you away as to what it is and what it is doing for us as human beings. Did you know that if you put all the DNA in your body together, if you stranded it together much like a string, and you put that string here on Earth and took it out to the sun and back, you could do that not once, not twice, but 100 times, according to Gerald Schroeder, a PhD in physics, who wrote the book The Hidden Face of God. How much information is that, ladies and gentlemen? That stupendous amount of information. And it all comes, I believe, from a creator God. The facts and things we're learning about reality today just blow some people away. They lead some people to turn away from not believing in God to believing in God. Some of the things they're learning in quantum physics today, when we talk quarks and bosons and neutrinos and all these things that are on the subatomic level, matter operates at that level much differently than it does in the macro level that we're able to see. Study up a little on quantum physics, ladies and gentlemen. Scientists call it spooky. As they look at the quantum world, they say it's spooky because they have trouble believing that it is reality. Yet it is reality. It is a reality we don't experience in our perceptible reality in which we live. Yes, there are invisible things we don't see, invisible things that are reality, where God dwells, where the spirit realm is, and one day we can be part of that. I believe that from my Bible, but I'm trying to get that skeptical mind out there to start to see that scientists are beginning to make connections between what they can detect in the reality of science relating to what we're reading about in our Bibles today. Those connections are being made by scientists today who did not believe in a God before. You will find that over and over and over. I want you to turn with me as we start to wind down on today's program to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. There's a scripture here that's interesting. It says this, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So hear that again. Things that are made and are seen were not made of things which do appear. Can you believe in reality that you can't see, ladies and gentlemen? Oh yes, if you start to study DNA, if you start to study quantum physics, if you start to look at what science is discovering about connections between the mind and matter, you will start to see a different reality. And hopefully that will lead you into the words of this Bible if you have a skeptical mind. I hope that that is the case. I hope you can give some of this information to others. Please get that CD and that booklet. They will help you. Stay tuned for the end of this program. I'm going to say bye for now.
What is reality? You know, Mike put a whole new meaning, didn't he, to the statement about the fact that we live in a partial reality. And it's illustrative of the fact that man does have a greater potential than what he currently is. And the proof of that is all around us in the things that we're surrounded by. Mike mentioned the giraffe. The get-go. But how about a lightning bug? Or the platypus, or mammals like dolphins, whales, walruses, and seals, fish with lungs. There are so many varieties of bacteria, viruses, insects, varieties of animals, and of course, human beings. What about our heart? The kidney, or the eye, DNA, and quantum physics. I mean, unquestionably, comparing these complexities with the fact that we would think that there was no planner or designer, my friends, is ludicrous. That is as bad as thinking that your watch or your house or your car just kind of came to be what they are. They evolved into what they are. I mean, that is so illogical. I mean, it's nuts. Won't you let us help you to better understand this? Dial now, 888-578-8791. Ask for our two free offers. A booklet, small booklet, titled The Awesome Power of God, and a one-hour presentation by Mike James himself titled What is Reality? Both of these items are free for the asking. All you've got to do is dial 888-578-8791. And don't forget about that website there that you see posted up on your screen. Friends, this is Bill Watson, and as we always do, let me remind you once more, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in these evil days.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.